You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here along with our MLB.com Marlins reporter Joe Fusaro. And Joe, the trade deadline is behind us now, and the Marlins, I guess you could say they did what they had to do in that they added starting pitching. They had obviously already added bullpen help earlier in the season. They didn't add as much starting pitching as they had hoped, even though they thought they had, I guess. We'll get into that a little bit, but let's start with Andrew Cashner. He was the big piece they get from the Padres. Made his debut on Sunday, and I thought looked pretty good on Sunday. A solid outing for the Marlins in that one. What did you see from Cashner, and how does he feel about pitching without a beard?
Well, the pitching without a beard, I think he said weird, and he had a little blood, you know, had some little nicks and maybe some toilet paper on the face type of look. But, he gave them what they were looking for. I mean, it was tough to fully measure him based on that start, considering making that quick travel, like Manley kind of pointed out, 1 o'clock Sunday game. His body clock's probably like 10 o'clock Pacific time. But, you know, what he brings to the Marlins is a power arm and a guy with top of the rotation stuff who hasn't pitched at that level as earlier in the season in San Diego. But Cashner is going to be counted on, as obviously he's a rental who's, you know, pitching for a lot. You know, he's pitching to go to the postseason. He's pitching, you know, to impress as he hits free agency. I don't think he necessarily could be part of the Marlins' plans next year, but you never know. But in the short term, power arm and someone that goes right at the top of the rotation with Jose and Connelly.
He's obviously been around for a while now and in San Diego, and they've never really been good in his time in San Diego. Joe, has he talked about getting the chance to kind of finally pitch in a pennant race?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's kind of an unknown. You could kind of look at it two ways. And, speaking to Marlins people, you could look and say, one, you know, ideally you may want a guy who's been there, who knows what it's about. And two, there's always some question of, you know, when you get, you know, players who haven't performed in the spotlight and the intensity of a pennant race. And so they did their research, and they're banking that Andrew has enough to prove and that he will shine in the spotlight instead of, kind of wilt under it. So, all things considered, when you look at, you know, where they came in, and obviously we know the rank of them as an organization, the Marlins, in terms of their organizational depth, I thought they kind of did about as well as you could expect, because they didn't have the upper, you know, prospects to go after, you know, the Matt Moores and some of the other more controllable, you know, more coveted pitchers on the market. But they certainly had enough and enough history with San Diego to swing that deal and bring Cashner in. And, if they get to the postseason, it promises that he will have played a big part in that.
And they also got Colin Ray in that deal as well, but he makes one start and he leaves with an injury. And the Marlins able to send him back to San Diego and get Luis Castillo back from San Diego. Joe, I don't think I've ever seen this before. A weird situation. I think it's something San Diego didn't have to do, right? I mean, what went into the?
Well, we don't know the full story.
Yeah,
there.
Exactly.
There could have been potential grievances or pressure from the league, they felt something was justified to get him back. I think what kind of stood out was when Ray post game noted that he didn't feel, you know, he felt something in warm ups and even in his most recent start. But correct, medicals were exchanged and the Marlins certainly were aware that he was shut down late last season, and you know they were aware enough, but and still, you know, confident enough to make this trade. And as you spoke in the introduction to this, you know, the Marlins were hoping they had two starters, and they felt they did, which would address two needs. And you know, losing Ray is very unfortunate. And as you noted, I can't recall a situation where you've seen deals fall through because of medicals, but you don't really ever see someone actually wear the uniform, appear in a game. And then they look at the receipt and they see there's time to make an exchange. So, they kind of undid two parts of that 7-part deal on the last Friday. And it's kind of unprecedented and certainly unpredictable. And the bottom line is the Marlins, did not address that second starter need. And, you know, Ray goes back to San Diego and the Marlins have to make an alteration and put David Phelps, who's going from their bullpen, to their rotation now, and we'll see how that plays out, because that kind of hurts their bullpen and depth, if nothing else, as well. So, they're kind of addressing the need and kind of weakening themselves in depth in another area.
Yeah, so Phelps moves to the rotation after making 50 appearances out of the bullpen. Obviously, he's a guy who has started in the past, but not this season. So how long does it take to kind of build him up into a starter again, Joe? I imagine there'll be pitch counts along the way here as he works out and lengthens himself out innings-wise.
Yeah, I think you're looking at 70 pitches maximum, or right in that neighborhood for him on Friday at Colorado. And that's only because people may not recall, but when Ray came out of the game, Phelps entered and, inherited one out and no one on in the fourth inning. And he went 2 2/3, and he actually was the winning pitcher for Miami that day. Phelps, he got stretched out of 55 pitches in that start, and kind of the rule of thumb is he had 15. My concern with David is he's been very effective in the one inning and maybe the one plus, but not really more than two. His velocity is up to 97, but I'm also mindful last August, he had a season end with a stress fracture in his right forearm. Now, he's been healthy and strong this year, but that is, you come out and just let it rip for one inning. How's he going to do? And it also means he's got to change a little bit. As a reliever, you can get by with cutters and fastballs and a slider or so, or with him, actually, it's a sinker. He'll probably have to, bring out his changeup and his curveball more, because those, as a starter, you're going to need four pitches compared to you can get away with two pitches throwing out one inning in a bullpen.
Jose Fernandez has lost two games in a row for the first time in a long time, which is amazing in itself, and it speaks to how good a pitcher Jose Fernandez has been. I think it was 2013 last time he lost two in a row in the same season. But he hasn't pitched bad, Joe. It's baseball, right? I mean, sometimes you go out there, you pitch pretty good, and you lose.
Yeah, if you look at a Tuesday start and loss at Chicago 3-2, he gave up 3 runs in 8 innings. A balk cost him, sending a runner to second base and then a 2-out hit for him that third run. And then you could, isolate some mistakes along the way. What Jose is going to see and what the Marlins are going to see is you want to get to the postseason. It's a lot different playing the final 2 months than the first three or so, because everything is more magnified, and especially when you're playing a great team like the Cubs, you cannot make any mistakes. The team that makes the fewest usually is the team that wins. So with Jose, that's 2 starts in a row. Amazingly enough, him, for all he has in his arsenal, he's throwing 98. He was striking guys out. He was doing all things Jose does, but a balk, something as simple as that, is what cost him a shot at the win. Or certainly a no decision to avoid the loss in his most recent start. So obviously, if that's if that's your biggest problem, then you don't really have problems. And another thing, just in the storyline of Jose, before we move on to him, he's 8 strikeouts away now from 200 on the season, and it would just be the 6th time in Marlins history that they've had a pitcher reach 200 strikeouts in the season. So, he's on pace. The record is Ryan Dempster, 209. So he's on pace to completely shatter the Marlins' single-season strikeout record.
Yeah, and he may break that again a few times in his career as he goes on. One more thing I wanted to touch on you with, Joe, is Ichiro still closing in on 3,000 slowly now. He was getting bunches of hits for a while, but he's been in that role lately where he hasn't really gotten many starts, and it's been more off the bench. And obviously, pinch hitting's tough, and he hasn't been able to get a hit recently. Have you noticed, is he pressing at all? Is there any pressure? I mean, obviously there's pressure, but is he the same old Ichiro, or is it starting to kind of take a toll, this countdown to 3,000?
I think it's only human nature to kind of, when every time you come up, you can tell it's an event. I think it's only natural that you kind of feel it, but sometimes it works in mysterious ways, milestones. Pre-game with Barry Bonds the other day, and we're just kind of in conversation, and he said when he was closing in the 2 away from the home run record, it seemed like that took forever, and it's just something that you know, for some reason seems to happen, you approach that milestone, that last one or two, is never as easy as you would like it to be. And, you know, obviously the spotlight's on every at-bat. I think he's like, you know, as we do this podcast, he's due for his last 18 or 19 over his last 11 games. So, you know, he's had a little bit of bad luck as well. He hit the ball pretty hard a couple of times. Comes to mind, Peter Bohr just robbed him in Miami, of not just a hit, an extra base hit, and got hurt in the process, crashing into the wall. But and then he's hit some balls right at guys and then swing and misses. So getting the start right now, you know, not getting that final start and against John Lackey, a pitcher he has a lot of success against in Chicago, was kind of telling. And you know, right now the Marlins, are every win, every game certainly matters as they're trying to secure a wild card, if not card spot, if not the division. Don Mattingly's focus is more team than getting these two hits. So there's no telling when he'll get it. It just, for now, looks like it's going to have to be in a pinch hit role.
Yeah, so, you know, but I'm sure it'll come soon. He's not a guy that you're going to keep off the bases for too long, and he is just, as we said, two hits away from 3,000. All right, this has been MLB.com Extras, our Marlins edition. For Joe Frisaro, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next week.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.